This is Lynn Sloan. Welcome. Hello.
Okay, it's good.
Welcome. Welcome to Radio and TV Entertainment, AMFM. It is a pleasure to have you on the show, Miss Lynn. Absolutely. It is such a thrill to meet professionals in the industry, and it's so exciting and refreshing to hear, you know, women who are into stunt acting in film. I mean, that is amazing. It's got to be the most amazing rush to have to be a stunt woman.
It's so much fun. I'm still quite new. I've only been doing it for, this will be my third year, and you know, people do it for 30, 40 years, so still, you know, you want to be humble and realize that you have so much to learn, but that's part of the thrill. I get to learn something new every day.
Oh, that is very, very true. That's very, very true. And it takes a certain skill set to do the work that you do in when it comes to doing stunts, you know, as to such other actors that do their own stunts. And, you know, for like Jackie Chan, you know, he does this, he's done his own stunts for years.
Yeah, but he's Jackie Chan. He's definitely in a different league for sure.
Absolutely. So I have to ask, you know, what brought your passion? What brought attention to this line of work as being a stunt woman?
You know, it's kind of hard to answer because I get asked it all the time. First of all, like, how did you start this? Why are you a stunt woman? I don't know what to say because a lot of, especially, women in the business come from gymnastics. I know a lot of wrestlers that were professional in doing that before they got into the stunt world, but I kind of came from none of that. I played sports and I was a very active kid, but I never had a professional physical background in that sense. And I have now been told, I don't remember this, but I've been told that from the age of like 12 that I was walking around to neighbours and just letting them know that I was going to be a stunt woman.
Wow.
So yeah, I don't know how that kind of came about. I don't know, I never heard of a stunt woman. I'm from Norway, which obviously they have a great film business over there, but of course it's smaller than what it is over here. I'm based in Los Angeles and it's obviously much, much bigger, and so I don't know how I had ever even heard of stunts. So it's a good question that I can't really answer, I'm afraid.
But you just knew, you had it in your mind, and you had your heart set on being a stunt woman at that age. Was there any aspirations from people around you that made that particular career an aspiration for you?
Yeah, no, never really knew anyone. Never heard of stunts. Like, I don't know how I ever heard of it. So it really was just I worked as an actor from a very young age in Norway, and always did that. And straight after high school at 17 or 18, I moved to New York to go to drama school, and it was just drama school, nothing to do with stunts or anything like that. And as I was there, and the year that I was about to graduate, I remember just sitting in the library of my school, Googling, like, I didn't even know what to Google. I didn't know what I was actually looking for. So I Googled just, you know, stunt training courses or how to be someone. Like, I just had to figure out what the business in itself was all about. That was my first step.
Wow. Quite brilliant, too. Just to look at, you know, the ins and outs of getting into a career like, you know, like stunt work.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's a great way to gather insight of where you like to go, where the career leads to. And I realize that you have, you know, someone in, you know, someone you know that's close to you that's also in the stunt work too. And his name is Connor Cross.
Yeah, my boyfriend Connor Cross, who was supposed to be doing the interview with us, but, you know, life is hectic, last minute changes do happen. But yeah, he is a stuntman as well. And same with me, we met at the stunt training course that I found. And after that, we were just extremely lucky. We went to it's called the International Stunt School. It's in Seattle. And as far as I know, it's really the only training school or facility that kind of gives you a good understanding of all the different aspects of what it means to be in the stunt business. So you get to try a little bit of everything kind of and figure out what you like to do. And so that's where we met. We were 48 people, I believe, that summer in the school. And at the end of the school, they have Mirage, Universal, and Marvel, like the three biggest live shows and companies in the world. And they have them come look at us and audition us and just evaluate us. And so we were told that we might be interesting candidates, but we had to wait 4 months for a call. And after waiting 4 months, we both got the call to go to the same show in China with the same company, and we were the only two that I'm aware of that got that call. So we were extremely lucky.
Wow.
To just be sent the same place. I mean, what are the odds?
Wow, amazing. You had to have been very impressive for them to call you over to China in that instant.
I had a lot of fun there, for sure. We were there for 7 months, and then the head of Mirage, you know, he travels, they have shows all over the world, and he travels every show to kind of watch it, quality check it, whatever. And we hadn't even been in China for a month before he asked us if we wanted to, after a contract in China, joined the biggest show that Mirage had, which is in Dubai. So straight up to China, they flew us straight to Dubai, and we did another, I believe, 6 month contract over in Dubai.
Wow, amazing. That had to be the most life-changing moments of your life, you know, growing up. And
yeah,
and
definitely learned a lot, for sure. And it gave us because in stunts, you're never done. You know, you can be better at everything that you do, and there's so many aspects to always improve on. And so we got to travel together, we got paid for it. It was like young people's dream, I assume. And we got the opportunity as fresh stunt people to learn a lot of new skills. And in stunt shows, you know, you usually do 4 shows a day, 6 days a week for 6 months, and so you do a stunt hundreds and hundreds of times, so you definitely lock that skill down, for sure.
Wow, truly amazing. It's like, you know you're living something, you're living your dream, you know, to be involved with stunt work. And this is what you dreamed about ever since you were 12, right? Wow. And you did mention that you have an athletic background. You know, was it like, you know, were you involved in, like, you know, rugby or soccer beforehand? Or how did you get into the athleticism? Because I'm sure, you know, with stunts, you have to be somewhat athletic, you know?
Absolutely, for sure, yeah. That's definitely a big part of the job. And a lot of the times, instead of, you know, actually going for jobs, which are hard to get, especially for new people who are just starting out, trying their best, a lot of the actual work is training, getting new skills, all of that. So honestly, I've just always been quite athletic. I love to move. Just really anything, dance. I dance a bit. My town, actually, in Norway, was a big badminton town. So I did that for some years, which was, it's harder than it looks. It really is.
Ballet. Oh, absolutely. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Not ballet, badminton.
Oh, badminton.
Yeah, it was a big badminton town. So I did that for a long time. And other than that, just really being an active child and always kind of wanting to have an outlet for a lot of energy. And this is the perfect thing, because I'd love to continue to work as an actor. I love that as well. And I can do both. They definitely, are kind of the two same elements of the same beast. So some people are definitely active as well. They just, it's more physical, and they just have a separate way of doing their craft. But yeah, it makes me, it's the best of both worlds. I get to act, I get to always challenge myself. I'm quite an adrenaline junkie, so I get to, push out to work and really go for it. So I'm so, so lucky.
Awesome, awesome. What was the most thrilling moment to be active in while you were in training to be a stuntman?
Well, I'm always in training, like some people always in training, always learning new things. I think it's any time, honestly, because in the live shows, we did a lot of big stunts. Connor, for example, did, I don't know how many hundreds of times he did fall off a building that was 35 feet tall while he was fully on fire. And he did it hundreds and hundreds of times. And wow. Just learning skills like that is obviously very thrilling, because you're never going to had the opportunity really to learn that skill again, and not a lot of people in the world has done it 1,000 times, so it kind of gives you a little bit of something special maybe. So those learning those things are very exciting, but honestly what really I'd say is thrilling and keeps you going are the small wins. Like I said, they don't have there's a lot of trickers in the stunt world, a lot of gymnastics are amazing, and gymnasts are amazing. I don't come from a background with those skills, so I'm teaching myself and having amazing friends teach me, and it's all those small wins that I'm sure I'll never get to use. I'm sure I'll never be hired for doing a simple back walkover or anything like that, but it's kind of the thrill of mastering a new trick, no matter how small it is. It's kind of what keeps you going. That's what wants you, makes you want to learn a new trick and then another one, and maybe the next trick you learn or skill you learn is a little bit bigger. And so it's definitely, I think, for me, about the small wins and recognizing that they're equally as important, because they keep you moving forward.
Absolutely, you're very humble. very humble. I've seen the reel that you have, and it was quite amazing how many things you have achieved and also reenacted in your reel. You're doing flips, and you're doing, you're handling weapons, and you're battling, and it's all of it in a smidgen of a piece of your reel, and it was just absolutely amazing. And I just
thank you. That's very kind.
Absolutely. And what are your goals, your next upcoming activities, your goals, and other aspirations you have?
I definitely want to get more into the industry over here in LA, in Hollywood. It takes time to build relationships, to train with people, and to kind of get into, I think, any business that you want to work in. Kind of prove yourself that you're there for the right reasons. I think a lot of people only want to, and not just in stunt, but in life in general, I think a lot of people, they just want the end result. And if you're only there for the end result, you're not going to kind of whoop your own butt, if you will, and get up at 6 a.m. to go to the gym, and you're not gonna send out those 150 emails that day to coordinators and people that might be hiring, so if you don't love what you do, I think you won't continue to do it, because the end result won't come as fast as you might wish. And if you're sitting there in a rush and that's the reason you're doing it, you're really not gonna want to do it for very long. So I think You know, I want to, if somebody came to my doorstep today and said, do you want to work on the new Matrix, for example, that's, you know, they're shooting it now, Matrix 4, and where they're about to start shooting it in March, perhaps, of course, I'd be like, yes, please, bring me on there. But it takes a lot of time, a lot of work, a lot of trust for people in the industry to kind of get to those amazing projects. And I think, you know, something I just did was it's not for an HBO show over in Europe. And just getting those opportunities for really cool networks doing, I doubled someone in this one. So either if it's a doubling job or a fight sequence or whatever it is, it's really special. And I just hope for 2020 that those jobs keep coming, obviously, and just to really build great relationships with so many amazing people that can teach you so much.
Absolutely. It's I suppose it's, you have a very hectic schedule each day to figure out, you know, going to your classes and as you have mentioned, you know, always practicing, you know, different aspects of your physical activities as a stunt woman, and also a continuation of acting as well.
Absolutely. It's your job to keep yourself busy, and if I wanted to, I could sit on the couch all day every day, and I definitely don't. You know, it's about what you said before, having the dreams and aspirations. Where do you want to be by the end of this year, by next week, whatever it is, and really, you know, holding yourself accountable. And like I said before, loving what you do. Like, I don't have to force myself to go train, or I don't have to. I don't think, today I don't want to get up and get going. I want to every day because I like what I do. And I have the little motivation that, you know, I have goals that I want to reach. And if you're going to reach them, you know, what you've got to do, you've got to work for them.
Absolutely. I have to get you in touch with a friend of mine. His name is Bruce Nahy. And he's absolutely. He's a retired. He is a retired entertainment lawyer, but he's also a mentor to many people in the acting and film industry. And he has mentored Heather Locklear, Harrison Ford. He's also, you know, teaches and mentors at UCLA. You know, of course, one of the schools that are very known for their arts and drama classes and things like that. And he teaches over there, and he also sits on the board for Sundance Film Festival as well.
Oh, how cool!
Yeah, really cool. You know, very fascinating. I've interviewed him myself on my show, and he's quite amazing. Quite amazing man. A lot of people kind of look up to him. He's like a father, almost.
<Yeah. laughs> You know, really awesome, amazing people in business. And what kind of took me a little bit by surprise, I would say, is because I used to live in New York, and then, New York and LA, I don't know if they have some sort of beef, but I definitely was moving to LA thinking, oh, I'm not really going to like you here, I don't know if I'm going to get along with a lot of the people, and honestly, prejudged it for even knowing anything, because I'd only been here a couple of times as I was living in New York. I flew across just for a couple of jobs here and there, and I really just felt no sense of home or sense of, you know, I knew no one, I had no memories, any places, so everything to me looked very the same, felt very, not very personal. And so coming here was really, really taking me by surprise, has been all the amazing people that I've met, and that's people in the industry, like you talk about, also just other people that do completely different things, which I love learning about and hearing about. You know, I had a friend who does neuroscience, and it's quite nice to hear about something that I know nothing about, and I would love to you know, get some insight and learn something new, and also to hear that other people in other industries also struggle, also have to work very hard to get into the industry. Also, you know, you kind of have your challenges in every industry, so it's definitely the people over here that has opened up my eyes and made me love being here in Hollywood.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's amazing. He has a background when he was an entertainment lawyer. You know, he actually was a lawyer for Snoop Dogg and other.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And you know, other people in the industry, and so and his father was actually a well-known sportscaster, you know, broadcaster, and you know, it's a very interesting background for himself. And he has two sons that are into you know, being a publicist and also working in the government industry. So quite amazing person. And there's, you know, a lot more, you know, over in you know, in LA. And it's just a matter of, you know, really, really knowing where to network, being a part of film festivals, anywhere that you know that there's going to be people that love the industry of film and acting are going to be. It's good to be in that mixture, you know, and then having, you know, maybe an actor's business card rather than... your headshot there with your, you know, your resume in the back of it. It's just easier.
Showing up with a whole headshot for sure.
But you know, a business card with, you know, a mini headshot there, and maybe some links, you know, to your work.
Yeah, we have that for sure. Instagram, for example, we have our business cards, but it's kind of annoying. As we're going to restock on them, we want to put our Instagram handles on there because they're so useful. I think a little bit more than corner, but he did as well. We use them as resumes, you know, mostly we post something about the stuff we did or a film that we were shooting this month or whatever, and it really, I've got jobs just straight up from Instagram.
Awesome.
So it's such a good tool, such a good tool. Actually, as I was doing the show in China, I believe, the guy, his name is Peter Swan, he reached out to me. He's amazing, and he trains a lot of people and works with a bunch of some people, and he, you know, saw me on Instagram and said, if you're ever in LA, come train with us and I'll train you and I'll love to get to know you. And just, you know, he was one of my absolute first friends when coming out to LA and knowing no one, and really gave me a home to go to and a place to go train and kind of feel like you belonged as you were starting a whole new life in a whole new part of the world. So definitely I'm not underestimating places like Instagram or any other Facebook, what people use to kind of get their stuff out there. Use whatever you can.
Absolutely, which is amazing, you know, that the internet has opened up so many options, you know, to where you can actually kind of audition every day online.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
What I mean?
You just have to take the opportunities they're given.
Absolutely. You know, even now, you know, now they're stating that TikTok is another place now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's booming right now. You know, people are getting 500,000 views for TikTok videos and all that.
Yeah. It's really just about kind of being. I don't have TikTok. I feel like I might be a little old. I feel like it's a little bit for the people that are younger than me. But it's the same concept, you know, that we got with Instagram or whatever else. Just kind of utilizing what you have. And I think a lot when you are given an opportunity, like putting your stuff on Instagram or what else, it's important to take it because things are being made easier for you, but it's also being made easier for everyone else. So not only can you know, promote yourself, now everyone can. So it doesn't mean that the competition that's any easier or that the competition is any less. You still have to kind of get out there and work hard, but now at least you have a place that you can put yourself and promote yourself. So yeah.
Absolutely. Not only that, but then there's the other world, you know, IMDb Pro, of course.
Everyone checks that.
You know, and then of course, you know, just being able to get out there in theater when those that are looking over your, you know, over resumes, they're always looking, especially acting resumes. in some particular place, they have, you know, a few things that they want. Someone that can have an active, be very proactive in using a little bit of stunt work in theater plays. Yes.
Yeah, I just think the more things you've done, the more things you can do, is a positive thing, and it might not be important for this particular gig, or it might not be what gets you passed in ABRC, but I mean, it never hurts to have different kinds of skills or have been in very different kinds of projects, because it just proves that you can do more things and you're at least willing to try, you know.
It's just that you're very proactive in your daily life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you just want to have some fun. Like, you might not be... I grew up with theater. I did theater from an extremely young age, and I will always be very thankful to theater. But it doesn't mean that that's what I want to do or focus on right now, but it doesn't mean that I will never do it again. And I have extreme respect for the theater and everything that comes with it, of training and an understanding of just really who you are as a person. You know, theater makes you kind of look within quite a lot, maybe more than some people would prefer, which I find very interesting. So I definitely want to go back to theater at some time in my life. But, you know, people say life is short, but life is super long, and you're allowed to do different things. It doesn't mean that you pick something at 18 and that's what you have to do for always and ever. You know, you have to do what feels right at the moment, and work as hard as you can towards the goals that you have. And if life catches you off guard, which it definitely will, and changes your course, then that's okay. At least you've kind of been true to yourself and done what you felt was right up until that point. And then after that, you know, you kind of just have to go with it. Best.
Ah, well said. Well said, Miss Lee. very, very well thought. Very, very thoughtful. In retrospect, definitely. You know, it's often so in your activity as a stunt woman and training, what were some of the things that you did not expect in the training that you are pursuing now as a stunt woman?
Very good question. Something I didn't expect. Well, something that I didn't expect from the business side of it, more than the technical part of being a stunt woman, is, you know, you hear a lot about, or you kind of have an understanding going into this, that it's a very male-dominated industry.
Yes.
And so... So I don't know if I had a lot of thoughts going into it, but I've never once really experienced being treated anything differently than my male colleagues, or any kind of sexism in that sense. And I don't know if I was expecting to, but, you know, as I'm sure any woman in any male-dominated industry is aware of, that might be a possibility, you know. And I haven't really experienced any of that, so that's maybe something that has surprised me very positively. I've only really, you know, in any industry, in any business, you're going to meet people that you might not get along with super well, or not everyone's going to be everyone's best friend, and that's okay, but 99% of the time, I always feel very comfortable, very taken seriously, and I just have a feeling, whether I work in Europe or in Asia or here in America, that we're all just a team, which is extremely important in stunt work, that you are a team. Sometimes, you know, you put your life in the hands of a person you met 30 minutes ago, and you kind of just have to do your job. So you have to trust that the other people, that they take the work seriously, that they have done serious training, and that they are prepared as you are prepared, and that they take you seriously. So that's definitely been maybe the number one thing that I didn't expect. It's been a very positive experience so far.
that is a very good, thorough explanation of things that, you know, currently we may never expect, you know, during our lives. We're training for something that is something that we've dreamed of all of our lives, and, you know, things that we may not, you know, even have put the thoughts, and I think that's very well, you know, definitely, you know, well explained, you know. In certain aspects, what are some things that you have encountered, you know, in training, you know, besides the, you know, possible injuries, maybe along the way,
yeah.
You know, days where, you know, you want to take a break, you know, to rejuvenate your mind and your body. But in other aspects, you know, what are some things that you have encountered that were different from that were different in the world of being an athlete? That's more, you know, unique, is unique part of the stunt training that you've encountered.
Do you mean that differs from athletes in general, or just the stunt community?
Actually, the actual stunt work that you took it on.
Something that surprised me. I think just coming into it and going almost nothing. I think I was surprised, but also extremely impressed by all the different aspects that stunt is. Because I feel like a lot of people, they see a fight in a movie and think, oh, that's probably a stunt person. And then fights are a lot of the stunts that you got hired for, and getting shot or falling down. It's mostly what you get hired for, but you also have stunt driving, fire burns, high falls, wire work, which is huge right now. Everyone is doing wire work, and it kind of surprised me and honestly excited me that you, to be a well-rounded stunt person that can really compete in such a competitive market, because there's so many good people, which is an amazing thing. But if you want to kind of be at the top of the game, you have to be so good at so many things. It's not enough anymore to just be a very good fighter, unless you are, you know, something completely unique. You really have to master a lot of very different aspects. So that kind of comes back to what I said with, you're never fully trained, you're never done, because you might be the best stunt person in the world when it comes to wire work. But then, do you know how to drive? No. Okay, so you learn that, and then how are your reps? Can you do a double HK? Can you, you know? So there's always something to learn, and that's what excites me and scares me and keeps me impressed when it comes to the others in the industry, just watching them.
Oh, amazing. Now, you mentioned a term, double XK. Is I'm trying to, what is a way to familiarize with that term? How do you familiarize it in layman's terms?
A double XK, it's really just, it's a wreck, as we call it. So if you're in a film and somebody punches you in the face, and the director or fight coordinator or whoever has kind of decided the moves of the fight, they decided that you do an HK or a double HK. It's really that you, it's hard to explain, but you spin before you land. So you would jump to either side, spin once or twice, depending if you're doing single or double, and land. And you would want to land in a way that you've trained, so that you can do it on concrete with no pads, and if they need you to do it 10 times, you can without injuring yourself, which is a big part of the community and the understanding what being a stunt person is, because everyone can do something once. You know, they can do it 10 times and then get up the next day and come back to work. That's kind of the point.
Amazing, amazing. How do you, perhaps, or how would you say a person should prepare their bodies for a day of learning stunt work, you know, so that they're not injured and so they're well prepared to go into that sort of training?
maybe you have an injury from something else. Everyone needs to take care of their body in individual ways. But I think obviously being well trained, both physically and with technique, will help a lot, because even if you're on set and something happens that's not expected, you have trained so much technique that your body knows how to bend or how to handle it, so that, let's say, in fall, the impact won't be as damaging. Or, you know, so any research you can do, anyone you can talk to. I'm sure I've bothered more people than I should with questions, but I'd rather do that than be told no, because I just want to know what other people know and what their experiences are, because they're so much more experienced than me. They know so many more things than me, and I'm just not scared to ask. So definitely just knowing your body, ask around. If you have questions, raise your hand. And people so far to me have been very nice. You know, you have to kind of come into it and be aware that they don't owe you anything, they don't know me, but if they are willing to take 30 seconds, 1 minute out of their day just to shake my hand, answer a question, then I'm super happy. And most of the established, some people I've met have really been very generous.
Absolutely. Have you met some what was the most surprising actor that you've actually met while maybe on a film set? Or have
I don't know, I've never worked with any very big actors because they're not quite new, but I got to work, like I said, in Europe on an HBO show, and there's a big actor back home in Norway, his name is Tobias Altman, and he's a very big actor. He was in a Norwegian film that was Oscar nominated, and he's very well known at home, and he was the one that was throwing a girl into a glass table, and obviously the girl slipped out and I doubled her in, and he threw me a couple of times into a glass table, so that was quite fun for sure.
Oh wow. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And
it was a good day to work.
I suppose that it was a very, very amazing lesson to learn. You know, doubling for another lady, perhaps, and it's such a scene like that.
It's embarrassing. We also had Bobby Hollinghampton is like one of, if not the biggest stuntman in the industry. He's Chris Hemsworth's double, so he does everything he does. He's been Thor, I believe he's been like Batman, he's literally been everything. And Connor is such a big fan of his work, and actually got him on the phone for just, 30 seconds to say hello and have a brief chat. So we're definitely very lucky to get to chat to some big names in the business, and everyone has been very, very generous.
Amazing. I guess you never can, never it can expect that your passion can become something that is encompassing your own life. That you can reflect.
You can just work as hard as you can and try. Just have to try, and if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But you better show up every day for yourself, and as long as you are happy with what you're doing, like, you shouldn't be doing it just because, and because you promised your mum, or you feel like you let your partner down. Like, none of that should matter if the people around you really care about you. And if you really just love what you do, it's important to you, you believe in yourself, and you don't rush it. Like, you don't have to be in, like I said, Matrix 4 today, but if you are willing to put in the work and know that it will pay off in 10 years and 15 years, then you should continue to do it. There's no reason to quit.
Absolutely. And my question also is that what are some of the oddest terms that you have come to be familiar with or the oddest terminologies that you have come to terms with in the what's that treat you?
What is tennis? I don't know if it's very odd. I mean, this one makes a lot of sense to me, but we learn high falls and to know the different falls. You know, they would have names. You have sit fall and a face off and whatnot. And one of them is called the suicide fall, which obviously sounds not very pleasant, but it's just made for a jump. But yeah, maybe a couple of those things. So I'm like, oh, that sounds extreme, and then what would be
an example of a suicide fall, perhaps?
A suicide fall is just a fall where you're standing, you know, either on a ledge or you're on a cliff, and wherever you're supposed to fall down, and you have a bag underneath you, an airbag, or sometimes rock setups, or foam mattress. It really depends on the location and the how many feet the fall is, but when you fall down and kind of just stand there and let you start fall. So in some other falls, you know, you need to turn mid-air or you go head first, but this one you just kind of stand there and let yourself kind of easy breezy fall over.
Wow. That takes, I can imagine that takes a lot of courage to execute.
Yeah,
a fall,
yeah,
like that.
Sure. I really love them now. I really, really like, I've had falls. Connor is very good at them. So it helps actually to have a partner who does understand and does the same things. And so if he struggles with something, maybe I have the answer. And if I struggle with something, maybe he has input of how to do something that will make it easier. You know? So it definitely helps to feel like you have a teammate.
So, with you and your lovely beau, Mr. Connor, that he is not here, and I was looking forward to having both of you here, but it's a pleasure to have you here, and now I see that Connor, he has a background in powerlifting. I read that, and how did he fall? Were you two together in perhaps doing powerlifting or something that is just in his background?
No, I've never done that. He, I might be wrong, but he did it as a team, and he was, I think, the strongest or the second strongest or something in his class, and all of his competitors, so he was very good at it, but I think, you know, after a while, it's a very taxing sport. It takes a lot out of you, especially a young body. Personally, I was younger and I'm happy that he doesn't do it anymore. It's
very, not the same thing to
do with your body, definitely. So, but yeah, he was very good at it and he did it for many years. But I think it gave him a lot.
Oh, wow. You know, because that's something me and him have in common. Actually, I've done a little powerlifting myself. You know, training aspect, and I was with the USA powerlifting team, so I saw that and I said, wow, that's amazing.
Oh, that's fantastic. He would love to talk to you about it, I'm sure. he would know way more than me. He's never done it, don't want to do it. It's just not for me, but I'll move through him for sure.
Well, you know, it's all the matter of you know, it's all about life, the lifestyle of being, you know, following, being healthy as an example, but I did it at the age of 40, so, you know, looks a bit younger than
me. Wow,
that's
amazing.
Yes.
That's so cool.
And, you know, so it's quite impactful. And so, it was him. Where do you see his advanced skills? Do you see him perhaps being a master of, you know, driving, stunt driving, or all aspects of stunts, in your perspective?
For me, honestly, I think Connor, whatever he wants to do, he learns things extremely fast and picks it up most things with ease. I think he kind of is the same as me. He just wants to learn anything that he can. We had a meeting the other day with a very well-renowned stunt coordinator, and kind of asked him, like, what do you think I should work on, and what do you see me being cast as in the film world? And, you know, his answer was, like anyone else's answer is, the more you know, the better, and just try and train everything. So he's a great fighter, he's a great ground pounder, he works well, he's a great flipper, and he learned to drive a little bit in China, so I'm sure we both want to do more of that. I think if there's one aspect in stunts that they're lacking female stunt people, it's in driving. So I think both of us, we want to do more of that. And yeah, really just learn whatever we can, whatever there's useful, you know.
Wow, amazing. You know, actually, I know a stunt woman that actually trained my daughter. You know, in improv, her background is actually being a stunt double and a stilts walker, so she walks on stilts as well. And she
A lot of people come from circus, and which is great.
It's amazing to see that. You know, I can just imagine how much you know, balance you must have and patience. Lots of patience.
I know, right? So I just sit like that with everyone. Like, I sit on YouTube or whatever, look at people's reels, look at my friends' reels, and I just sit in awe, and I'm like, I want to know how to do that, I want to have it with this, and you know, you just never stop being amazed by the people in your own industry, which I think is so important. You just look at other people and see everything that they can do, and really just get inspired by that, because there's so many men and women out there who do incredible things, and what you can do is try and work hard to be half the performers that they are.
Amazing, absolutely. It's just amazing. It was amazing to see, you know, both you and Connor together in the reel, and how you're able to do all those stunts, and I'm thinking, wow, how amazing. How does the body prepare itself, you know, to go into many large impacts, you know, all sudden impacts like that, and come out of it okay?
Yeah, no, it's a very good question. I think all some people and probably athletes all over are asking themselves that every day. You know, you want to be sure that you can come back to work tomorrow equally as healthy and do it again and again. And just being you know, well trained and taking your precautions. You know, if you can, use time. Don't ever, you know, I don't need that. And I definitely can't say, oh, I'm not going to say, I don't need that. And you know, you injure yourself. It doesn't have to be big injuries, but you really want, you know, your leg to hurt for the next just 2 days, you know? Because what if you have another job? You can't do it, and then you lose money, you lose work. So definitely just take care of yourself whenever you can. No one's going to judge you for taking precautions, for asking questions, for making sure that you're safe, making sure that you work with coordinators who are going to speak your case and make sure that your surroundings are up to speed. And so really just being unapologetic about making sure that you'll be good. You know, no one's going to judge you for putting on an extra knee pad. If it doesn't show on camera, do it. Why not?
Absolutely. Safety first. I'm 100% proactive about that. You know, knee pads, and you know, icy hot. Whatever you have.
A lot of icy hot. There's a lot of icy hot in the house. Very useful.
Very, you know, very, very implicated. Apply when needed. So,
absolutely. But yeah, there's never any shame in taking extra care of yourself. Say no when you have to is a big thing. Don't say yes to a stunt that's clearly dangerous and you don't know how to do it. I was working with a coordinator who was working on James Bond, the one that they shot now, and he got asked to join them for a couple extra weeks, and he obviously would love to. They asked him if he had worked with certain equipment before. He knew of the equipment, but he hadn't personally worked with it before, and was honest and said, I don't know how to use that equipment, and which is much better, because now that coordinator, they weren't able to use him for that one job, but that coordinator now knows that he can trust him, because he will tell them if he can't do something, which is
way better than having a guy or a girl go, yeah, yeah, I'm crazy, I can do anything, I know how to do that, and then they show up on set and they can't do it, so they can't shoot the scene, or worse, they injure themselves or someone else. Like, nobody wants to work with a daredevil. We want to work with professionals that are capable of assessing risk.
Absolutely, well said, well said. That was incredible the way you mentioned, the way you explained that, because as we were once children ourselves, right? You know, we often look at the actors on film and we think, oh wow, they're jumping on cars, they're riding motorcycles at a risky high rate speed, and it's amazing, it's thrilling, but they don't know they don't know the risk factors. They don't know the implications of it. You know, they don't know how to estimate it yet.
I'm not going to put my life in the hands of someone who says that they're crazy.
Huh?
Of course not. Like, no.
Oh, I am 100% agree with that. Absolutely. You know, and then, you know, of course, you know, it's good to, you know, that you very much emphasize professionalism and to know how to, you know, really how to communicate, you know, with others that are you know, on your team, you know, to you know, understand that, hey, I'm not a daredevil, but I want to really, really do this, but, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, all the risks that could be avoided, you know, in such a matter, so everyone comes out okay, we have a great scene, it looks great, and everyone's okay.
Yeah, of course, your body is what you work with, so if your body gets hurt, you can't work. What are you going to do, you know? So kind of take care of your instrument, and our instrument is our body.
Absolutely, you know, as I was looking at, of course, Pulp Fiction, you know, it's a great film, you know, with, you know, Tarantino film, and of course, I actually heard, you know, that he also did Kill Bill, and I loved yes, absolutely, and the actress, you know, she did a magnificent job at doing every scene. Of course, there was lots of martial arts involved in that film.
Yeah.
But the way it was carried out, you know. But then it's not said out in public unless people research, you know, the inner workings in the film of how it began and how it began, that she did, you know, have an injury, you know, through the course of the filming process, because they wanted her to do a scene in a car, and she didn't feel comfortable, you know, and
I've seen this is horrible.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Driving. So I have some backstory from that scene.
Really?
She said that she didn't want to do it. She was kind of forced, and Tony himself drove the car down the road himself, said, oh, this is okay. Like, there's nothing dangerous. But then because they had taken so much time setting it up, they had to do a 180 and film it from the other side and have to drive the other way instead because of the sun. And it was way harder to drive that way on the road than the way that Quentin had done it. And so nobody had really test driven it, you know, or anything, and she ends up crashing. And well, you've seen that scene anyways, it's the back of her head. This could have been any woman, a trained driver, you know. So it's really I understand that actors want to do their own stunts sometimes, and that's great. But a lot of the time, behind the actor doing the stunts, there's a stunt woman or man that has trained them for weeks. You know, in John Wick, I think it was, I think it was John Wick. Halle Berry did her own stunts, but Heidi Moneymaker, it was the stunt woman that had been training her to do them for weeks on end. So. I think it's good that actors do their own stuff, but I also think you should give credit where credit is due. So I don't necessarily like it when an actor comes out and says, I did 100% of my own stunts. And it's very rare, you know. Sometimes there is an insanely complicated thing that a professional has to do, and there's nothing wrong with that. But then give credit to that person who did that, you know, or if someone, if you did do all of your stunts, it probably someone has worked with you for weeks and months, you know, so just giving the credit where it's deserved, I think, is important in every aspect.
Absolutely, you know, in every aspect, because, you know, that this is hard work, you know. Training to do stunt work. I mean, this is, you're taking impacts, falls, you're estimating scientifically about the different types of risk, the probabilities, and all of that is, you're constantly thinking throughout the process, and as well as using your body as the instrument to be able to absorb and understand your body, to be able to understand the impact of it, and to prepare for it. Our bodies are considerably very, very underestimated at some point of how much you can take. But it's good to know the risk and the factors that go up, that go with it. So, in terms of that, I do agree that stunt work and the training should be often accredited into every degree possible.
Yeah, I mean, you give credit to everyone else working on the film and everyone else, you know, doing their part. And I just don't know, I don't understand, I think, why you wouldn't just, you know, say good job to a person who did a good job. No matter what they did, if they, it doesn't matter to me if they did the stunts or if they got the coffee that morning or if the director or the guy who drove you to set, it doesn't matter. You know, you should, it's a team. And you wouldn't be able to do the movie alone, and just, you know, kind of show appreciation to the people around you, because at the end of the day, you're making a piece of art together, and you wouldn't have been able to do it alone. So,
absolutely, you know, in fact, because I'm actually, in the process of producing a film myself called Monster vs. Molly, and. There's going to be scenes where there's going to be a battle scene, and there's going to be other scenes, so we're going to have stunt people. But I think I love what you said, and then of course that we're going to definitely make sure that they get recognition for it, for the work that they do in every scene, not just the actors.
Yeah.
Indeed. So So when it comes to, how do you prepare yourself for unexpected weather conditions doing the work that you do, doing the training that you do?
It's actually a very good question, because it definitely, of course, depends on the stunt that you're doing. What you kind of have to be careful of. I know that when we were outside doing fire burns in Dubai, you have to be very careful of the wind, especially in the winter, and as you're on fire, you can only breathe in, you don't want the smoke, so you can only breathe in when the wind is behind you, and so if the wind is blowing a certain direction, before you go on and put yourself on fire, you kind of have to be aware of your surroundings. So that's kind of the main weather thing that I've had to encounter, just being aware of the wind. It also is doing high falls, because if they're from the very high, the wind can have some effect on how far you travel, and you don't want to miss your bag, obviously.
Absolutely, you can always be prepared and wrap up when needed. always pre-predict the weather before anything else, Ms. Lynn,
and just being aware, if you see something, if I'm not doing the fire burn, but I know that another stunt woman is, and I see that it's windy, it doesn't hurt just to be like, the wind is coming from west today, just to say that, or she's probably aware herself, but you're a team, it doesn't hurt just to kind of look out for each other, and that is an important part of the job, is looking out for your teammates.
Absolutely. Where can your, people that, find... Thank you.
has been a comment or if I've ever experienced anything, it's never been severe enough to where I've ever taken it seriously. People, no matter what you do, no matter who you are, no matter where you live, what you look like, will have their opinions, and they're entitled to them, but it doesn't mean that it's any of my business. And so yeah, I feel like I fit in because I tell myself that I fit in. And even if you're at a practice, like I said, Jam is a place in LA where a lot of some people train. There's a lot of tricksters there. They're amazing. I cannot trick to save my life. And as I stand there and watch these amazing trainers, it's not like because I can't do these amazing things, I'm standing here feeling like I don't fit in. That's not how I feel at all, because I'm not going to make myself feel that way. I'd rather stand there, look at them and think, wow, how amazing are they? Is there anything I can pick up? Is there anything that they can help me with, and kind of include myself in a bit? At a certain point, I think you have to take responsibility for yourself, and you can't really blame the world or everyone else always to say, oh, they made me not feel like I fit in, or they made me feel excluded. But then you have to kind of show up for yourself and make yourself fit in. I just think if you show up and are honest with what you can do, you're not trying to pretend you're something else, people, you know, respect that. And I've never ever had anyone talk me down because I wasn't able to do something, or talk me down because I was a certain gender. That's never happened, because honestly, if someone were to do that, you wouldn't want them in your life anyways, so it wouldn't matter.
Well, I could not imagine anyone saying that to you, especially not what I'd seen at all. you're very much amazing on film, and your reels are.
That's very nice.
Yes, you have a lot more to do for people to see. You do in every aspect to want to watch and want to see more, and. It's amazing what I've seen, and you know.
Thank you. That's very nice.
And my hat's off to you, because definitely it's. I love to see more women to go into that field. It's like to see more women do powerlifting. So
yeah, the more the better. And anytime anyone asks me, especially if they're women and they want to do it themselves, and they're like, how did you get started? What can I do? I get so excited. I'm like, oh. Let me tell you, I did this, please come to me, please, because we need more, and the more the merrier, we can learn from each other, and yeah, I just get so excited. So anyone out there thinking about wanting to do this, just do it, and if you end up not liking it, well, then you learn something new, and that's it, you know. So absolutely, if anyone's thinking about it, just please do it, we need you guys.
Absolutely, dear. Absolutely. You know what? I have to definitely keep updated with everything you and Mr. Cross is doing as well. Definitely would love to have you back and keeping the listeners here updated at everything you do. Because stunts, stunt work is absolutely amazing. It's just like I knew I grew up watching it, you know, do Star Wars and
I would love that. If anyone wants to film someone, make me, you know what I mean.
Absolutely, absolutely. This has been Lynn Salome, and of course we would have had Mr. Connor Cross here, but of course, you know, work calls, you must answer, right? So you know.
Yeah, I mean, life's busy, and that's a good thing. So no complaints on a busy night for sure.
Absolutely, dear. Absolutely. You know what? But it's been amazing having you here on the show, and you're quite an amazing and impactful woman indeed in the stunt industry. And of course, you know, with Radio and TV Entertainment, AMFM, you know, we want to know more about what you're doing in every aspect. So I'm going to keep watching, of course, watching what you do, and the listeners too. I know they want to see more and more of you out there doing what you do in stunts.
Great, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
Absolutely. And again, just for the listeners, you know, again, where they can find you again on social media.
Where they can find me on social media?
Absolutely, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, yeah, Instagram, all that good stuff.
Absolutely, Instagram and you know, LinkedIn, if you know, for those professionals out there, you know.
Yeah, LinkedIn and Facebook is just Lynn, LINN, the European way to spell it, LINN, SOLEM. So yeah.
Absolutely. And where can you find your, you know, your beau, Mr. Connor?
Yeah, he's the same. Connor, Instagram is definitely what we use the most. He's also LinkedIn. And we always work together and do things together, so we're tagged in both of our things. So if you find one, I'm sure you'll find the other.
Oh wow, so charming indeed. The couple duo, indeed. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So Mrs. Salome, it's been a pleasure having you on the show again, and definitely I'm going to keep you updated and everything possible. And you know, if there's another film coming up that you are going to be in, please let me know. You have to, you know.
I will.
Absolutely, dear. Thank you for being on the show, Mrs. Lynn, and you've been absolutely smashing this evening.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Blessings to you this evening, everyone, and keep on the watch. We're gonna have her again.
Bye.
Bye, and we're out. And here we go.
Come on, let me be the one. the life. Everything we do is to our delight. It's your night. Let me be the one.
Doesn't matter if you're black, it doesn't matter if you're white, doesn't matter if you're wrong or whether you're right. It doesn't matter what you think, it doesn't matter what you know. You're gonna be tested wherever you go. Now the choices that we make in life are all up to us. No matter what nobody says, your heart is all you need to trust. To see the world through a visionary's eyes, it's gonna take courage. You're gonna need strength to compromise. To see the world through an innovator's eyes, it's gonna take courage before your dreams. It doesn't matter if you're rich, it doesn't matter if you're poor. Everybody loves money, it only makes you want it more. Will you fight for the team? Are you the kind that makes a scene? Are you quick to make decisions and then decipher what it means? Now the choices that we make in life are all up to us. No matter what nobody says, your heart is all you need to trust. To see the world through a visionary's eyes, it's gonna take courage. You're gonna need strength to compromise. To see the world through an innovator's eyes, it's gonna take courage. You'll have to reach way down deep. Now the weight upon your shoulders, I bet nobody ever told you that the road would be tougher than you've ever seen. Think about your faith and courage. No need to be discouraged, because your dreams and virtues have brought you this far. To see the world through a visionary. Take courage.